Hey, it's Daddy, and welcome back to Daddy as Fuck Season 2, Episode 10. Today, I'm going to discuss pet play, and age regression. Thank you very much to one of my listeners, Tiffany, for writing in and expressing an interest to hear a little bit more about my experience and perspective on these topics. So let's get on down the bunny hole. Tiffany wrote in not too long ago, and we had a bit of an email exchange where I offered to broach any topics relevant to her journey or any curiosity she might have. And Tiffany, thank you for writing back. And this is what she wrote. Perhaps a little talk about your experience with pet play or your thoughts on it, if you haven't done pet play before or been with a pet sub. I'm a puppy, so I always find it fascinating to see others' perspectives on it. On another topic, I'm also an age regressor, but also an age player at different times and situations. But there's a fine line between age regression and age play. I'm wondering whether or not you've had any experience with being an age regressor. Just some thoughts I have. Well, Tiffany, thank you for writing in. And if anybody else out there listening to this podcast has any questions that they'd like me to address or talk about or reach back into my pool of experience to give a perspective on, you can email me anytime at daddy_af@comcast.net. So Tiffany, let's get right down to it. My experience with pet play and exposure to those genres of kink pretty much started back at my first convention, and I want to say that this was maybe about 10 years ago. I had gone to a flea, and you know, there were a lot of vendors on display, and at this flea was at a hotel. It was called a fetish flea, and you were allowed to they took over the whole hotel, so you were allowed to tastefully dress in, you know, latex or you know, your sub gear or dom gear, as long as it was tasteful and appropriate for public. And I walked out of the vendor display area and down a long corridor to head back towards registration. And when I turned the corner, I passed an individual in full leather regalia that had them essentially outfitted to be a horse. And right from the horse head right down to the harness, and even hoof shaped boots that you know, recreated the lower leg of a horse so that it looked like they had the lower leg of a horse, right? Almost kind of like stilts, and it was all finely crafted with leather. And his hands were out in front of him, kind of like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but you know, like a horse would rear up and have, you know, bend its forward hoofs at the fetlock and just kind of rear up with its front legs bent. That's the position he was in, and he was attached to a harness that went back to a small carriage. And he had a bit in his mouth and a bridle on, and the reins were going back to a very tastefully dressed woman who was also clad in leather, and she was sitting atop a custom miniature cart with two wheels on it, and she had a whip, and she would, you know, it was a small whip, and she would crack the whip, and he would trot along in front of the cart, pulling her down the hallway, all the while his behavior perfectly mimicking that of a horse. And her position as rider was perfectly poised as if she were commanding a horse. And I just stood there at my jaw on the floor in absolute awe and delight to watch this. I won't even call it a spectacle because that sounds negative, right? But it was a glorious spectacle of this individual, both of these individuals, playing out their role. You know, when you think of role play, right? They were playing out their role of the persona. He was completely a horse. He was her horse. And it was amazing to watch. And later on, I had circled back to meet up with some friends that were actually working at the flea. And the gentleman was there as well as his rider. And we talked for about 20 minutes about his passion and her passion and how they worked together to create the leather. And they were actually in the leather community, which is a very old and big community in all of kink. A lot of origins of, you know, I guess there's a lot of origins of BDSM that spring up from the leather community. And anyway, I don't want to get too far down that little side passage because that's a topic for a whole other podcast. But I stood there and I talked with them for about 20 minutes or so. And it was just fascinating to listen and watch his eyes light up and listen to how he described his experience of when he is the horse. And he is through and through a horse in those moments and completely throws himself into the role and the persona of pet play. I wouldn't even call it pet play at that point. You know, I wouldn't even call it being a furry, you know, which are generally people that identify with anthropomorphic animals. But this individual definitely was into being a horse and taking on that role. So I was absolutely amazed by it, and that opened my eyes. So as my kink journey further unfolded, I took note when somebody was wearing cat ears or a foxtail, you know, at a play party or in a dungeon. And, you know, before I knew it, you know, I felt like the kink community was a forest, you know, and the individuals were trees poking out from behind all of those trees. When I would go out to conventions, were these, you know, animals, people who took on these little animal personas or animal roles, you know, dogs and ponies and horses and cats and kittens and bunnies and you name it. If you identify with it, you can play with it. And to me, that's what kind of created the foundation of how I personally defined pet play. And before I even Googled it, before there were even a lot of topics about this that were reliable on Google, and before I was even deep into FetLife, I was encountering these, I was experiencing these people expressing themselves through these roles, through these identities in person. And it's funny because the spectrum is huge, and we all know that. I mean, you can be a 24/7 submissive in deep power exchange that runs through your whole life. You can be a slave to your master and, you know, completely have your life structured around your kink identity, right? Or it could be just in the bedroom. As a matter of fact, you know, as we covered in a few episodes ago about FetLife, you know, one of the ways you can identify yourself on FetLife is, you know, are you 24/7? Is it just an interest? Is it a curiosity? Or is your relation to kink in the bedroom only? So you can kind of say, hey, where do I fall on the shade of spectrum as far as like how much my kinks are a part of my everyday life? And it was just amazing to see how these people would carry themselves in these roles, whether they identified as a horse and built a lot of their free time around the passion of crafting and creating for the moments that they could dive them deep into their role of being a horse. Or if it's someone who just likes to wear cat ears at the convention and every once in a while when he or she might be feeling cute and frisky, they would interact with their partner through their cat persona. And it was funny, I remember one time sitting there in a little bit of I think it was a little rope class, a breakout rope class, there was someone who had cat ears on. And as he was trying to tie the knot of the hour that they were teaching, you know, the rope had crossed in front of her face, and, you know, I could see her head pick up, and she had cat ears on. I could see her head pick up, and she saw the rope, and she took took that as a complete and total opportunity to jump into her kitten persona, and she started playing with the end of the rope, and she like wrapped it up in her fingers, and he was pulling it from her, and she was pulling back, and she rolled over on her back, and he was scratching her tummy, and she was like clawing at him, and it was just I have to laugh now because I'm picturing it in my head, and it was absolutely adorable. And then, you know, they went back to their dom sub role, and she became the rope bottom again. But, you know, these little personas that people have inside of them that they like to play with, you know, they part of them identifies with that, and they break out into those moments of self-expression through that role or persona. And it can be so much as something that permeates your free time, and it can be a huge passion in your life where you tap into communities, you know, where you can get together with other cats, kittens, dogs, ponies, horses, you name it, you know, and have a room full of cats, or, you know, get a bunch of ponies together in a yard and have a pony race with your little mini chariots behind you. There's just so far you can go with it. Or it could just be something like having a little bunny tail butt plug and bunny ears in your nightstand beside your bed. And when you feel like it, you know, you come hopping out of the bedroom and search for daddy. So these are, the pet play is a fascinating way to express kink. So how might that look as far as like, okay, you understand what pet play might look like as far as how it might work, right? How it might function, but what can we do with it? As I'm about to get into the things that you can do to express pet play or your role in the persona of identifying with an animal, I want to talk about some of one of my first experiences engaging in pet play. So I had met a submissive play partner before I met Baby Girl. And at the time, she had expressed to me that she identified with being a puppy, and she did not have a lot of experience in that role. But when I told her that I had a curiosity with and a long history of role play in the fantasy kind of Dungeons and Dragons and live action role play arena, I had played many characters and creatures, so I absolutely loved taking on the persona of a character or a creature, whether I was playing tabletop Dungeons and Dragons or I was out in the woods beating on my friends and fellows with plumbing supplies. So I had expressed to her that I was no stranger to role play, and that I would love to cross that over into the kink dynamic and also into the bedroom. So at the time, she expressed to me that she had a little bit of a puppy and said that it would be okay if I wanted to play with it. So one of the things that I did to play with it was I thought, well, what do I want to do? Well, I guess I'll just start with something simple, right? So I went to the store and I bought a stainless steel dog bowl and a collar that I assumed would fit her, about the size it would fit her neck. And when she came over and we had like cooked dinner together, and then we were going to have some fun. So one of the things that I did was we spent, you know, about an hour or so cooking this elaborate dinner. And when I set the table, I only set one place. And she looked at me and she kind of knew what was coming next, because I held up her collar and she smiled as I put the silver stainless steel dog bowl down on the floor. And when I plated out our meals, I put mine in my plate and I put hers in the bowl, and she ate on the floor and totally took on the dog, her little puppy persona, and wagged her bum and ate her dinner out of the dog dish. And you could hear her collar, you know, tink, tink, tink against the stainless steel dog dish. And I was just cracking up the whole time because it was so much fun to watch her enjoy that so, so much. And when I met Baby Girl, we had expressed desire in a little bit of role play, right? So one of the things, actually a lot of role play, we established some pretty elaborate scenes of the minx and the hunter. I went online and I bought her a multicolored tail, butt plug, and matching ears. And I told her to, we kind of roughly sketched the scene out, and she's like, I want to know kind of roughly what we might be getting into. And, we kind of developed the roles a little bit, but she said, okay, don't tell me too much. Just give me the gist of it. And then kind of, I said, do you want to know where we're going? Do you want to walk through the area that we're going to go so we can, when we play this out, we can play it out in the woods and I can find a safe area? And she's like, no, I kind of want to just dive into the role. So I completely trust you to put me in a safe environment. But I just kind of want to, get into the role and not know where I am and kind of feel that feeling of like being scared and being on the run and not knowing where I am. I think it will add to the experience of the role play. So, I took her out into the woods and I dressed as a hunter. Had a knife, I had was it a machete and hatchets and all sorts of like hunter gear, camo pants and whatnot. And we went out into the woods and I stripped her naked and I put the butt plug, tail in, and I put the ears on her head and I sent her off into the woods barefoot. And then I went to a separate area myself where I gave her time to hide, and I hunted her through the woods. And when I found her, I was supposed to capture her. She was a wild minx. She was a wild animal, and we wrestled and fought. And she bit my leg, and it was bruised for 2 weeks. It was just absolutely astounding. By the end of it, she was all scratched and cut. Nothing serious, but just kind of like if you scratched yourself on a branch. It was an absolutely amazing and astounding immersive experience that we thoroughly enjoyed. We did that a couple of times, actually. We got some wonderful photos when we did it, but we completely immersed ourselves in those roles for, I'd say we were out there for a good hour and a half in our roles. That's some really deep role play. So those are some of the experiences that I've had with pet play. Now, baby girl didn't necessarily identify as the minx, and my prior play partner did not necessarily identify as a puppy. Like, primarily, those were pet play roles that they liked to take on. So what it allowed us to do was get some toys, playtime, right? Things to have fun with in character, things to enhance the persona. So through my experience, that was like a collar and a dog bowl. It might be a leash or a lead. It might for baby girl and I, it was the ears and the tail. And I enhanced it with my hunter persona and the tools of a hunter. And we clashed those together in our interactions. If you're into kitten play, there's like just go to the pet store and start thinking from the perspective of playing out this role, and you can talk together and decide, do we want it to be like a play thing? Do we want it to be a sexual thing? Is there a line that we want to hold behind? Or do we want to, what kind of experience are we trying to create? And then just go to the pet store or look online and get excited about the toys and the kinds of gear that you can pull into your experience, collars, leads, halters, anything that's persona appropriate, right? And you can take it so far as to just putting on that gear and bringing out the toys and having a good laugh and kind of dabbling in it and blending it in with the everyday reality. Or you can get heavy into role play like Baby Girl and I did with the minx and the hunter and create a whole scene. I mean, the character I created for Baby Girl, the minx, was almost a little bit bordered on anime, this was it was like a pink and white ringtail with pink and purple ears. It definitely, the minx was definitely a fantasy character, kind of something from Alice in Wonderland, that I pulled out. It was a hybrid of animals. And as you're developing kind of the roles that you want to play, the toys you want to use, the gear you want to incorporate, and what kind of scene you want to create, you can discuss like how deep you want it to go. Would you have to stay in character? You know, what kind of rules are there? What kind of contexts is it? Are you going to have? Are you going to bring in things like, okay, when you are a puppy, here are the rules. I'm going to actually train you. Like, you're my puppy. I just picked you up. And, you know, you can, if your mind just went where my mind went, you can go pretty heavy into this. You know, I've known people that have people-sized cages, crates in their house. You know, if you're going to play the puppy that the daddy or master just picked up at the pet store, well, what happens if you have an accident in the house, right? So there's all sorts of, like, places you can take this and blend it in with other kinks. If you are into golden showers and things like that, you know, you can get these pads that you can put down in your house. They're actually called puppy pads for when you have a puppy, that they're very absorbent pads that, you know, if your dog has an accident or your animal has an accident or your partner has an accident in the house, it will completely absorb it, and you can just roll it up and throw it away so it won't ruin your rug or your floors. The Liberator throw is actually a great throw that you can get for your bed. It's good for squirters too, and, you know, very wet sexual play or any kind of play that prevents any fluids from getting through the barrier. The blanket will kind of soak them up, and it has a waterproof barrier, the Liberator throw, so that any fluid that gets on it, you don't have to worry about it. It's just going to soak into the blanket, but it won't go through the other side. It's kind of a little bit of crunchy. It has a texture. It has a sound when you roll around on it, but it's not that bad. You can get used to it, especially if you're deep into role play. You can just kind of, you know, ignore that and incorporate it into your environment. But, you know, digressing back to what I was saying, you know, you can get into training and handling protocol. You can completely deepen the role play, you know, about what is our interactions going to be when we're in character. Or you can just kind of take on the persona and let it go and just let it happen and see where it takes you, and then talk about it afterwards, right? Say, I liked this, I didn't like that, this made me feel this way, this made me think that way, and just kind of see how those mash together and work for you and your partner. And you can even contextually take on submission, right? Like, you know, submissives, you know your flavor of submission, right? Dominance, you know your flavor of dominance, and you're on your journey and it's evolving for you, and you kind of know what kind of a submissive and what kind of a dom you are and the things that you like in those dynamics. Well, how about the context of putting those dominance and submission into the roles of pet play, you know, pet and master? How would you dominate a kitten? How would you dominate a dog? How would you dominate a pony? Now, horses have personalities. Horses think for themselves. The way you handle a horse is a lot different than the way you would handle a dog. A dog is willing to be a lot more submissive. A horse is going to test you to see, are you stronger than them? Can you handle them? Are you someone that they need to take control of and be dominant of to maintain their sense of safety? Or are you going to be stronger than them and help them to feel safe because they know that you're the stronger one in the herd? So there's a lot to it if you bring in the animal psychology of the persona or the roles that you're going to take on, and then you bring that into the context of dominance and submission, and now you're submitting through your animal persona, and now you're dominating the other person in their animal persona. So you can have a lot of creative fun with those roles in that role play in those personas. But what about expanding this? You know, if it's one thing to do it at home, but what about taking it a bit further? For those of you that have a deeper interest in this and have tried it on your own and feel like you'd like to, you know, reach out and take it a little further and maybe hang out with a pack of dogs or maybe hang out with a herd of horses. There's communities. You can find community. One of the great places to do that is through FetLife. And you can also find munches and gatherings, get-togethers, events that are centered around particular genres of pet play. and particular genres of role play as well. One thing I will say, though, there is a bit of crossover in the different communities. For example, everyone's heard of furries, and furries are, well, most people have heard of furries. Furries are people that identify with an anthropomorphic animal. Often they will have like a fursona, you know, that they identify with through character and maybe even an altered personality to flesh out that fursona. And furry fandom is not usually related to eroticism and sexual activities, though when furry fandom kind of crosses over into kink, that line can get blurred. Furries, I kind of think of along the lines of me and my personal exposure, and this is just my perspective. You know, I'm kind of thinking of like anime and you know, different comic cons and things like that, and you know, folks that like to dress up in head to toe in, you know, furry suits, whether it's, you know, I'm a sloth or I'm a cat or, you know, I'm a snowman or whatever their fursona is. They may even identify with a particular animal very, very strongly. And when they dress up in that kitten suit, head to toe furry kitten suit, they feel completely taken over by their fursona. And again, that might have absolutely nothing to do with sex and eroticism, or it may have everything to do with, and it's all up to the individual. Sometimes, too, you may hear that pet play, you know, particularly puppies and dogs are associated with the leather community or the leather and latex communities. But as is often the case, terms definitely get co-opted as these different kinks and genres of kink expand out into different areas of exploration, right? You know, I wouldn't consider myself a furry. I wouldn't consider myself necessarily as identifying with a pet, or I wouldn't consider my baby girl as identifying as in a particular role as a pet. But we certainly had fun playing with it, right? And then I've known gentlemen who are definitely in edges of the leather and latex community that being a puppy is a very big role in his life, and it even like trickles down to his relationship with his actual dogs and you know, how he connects with them and draws a sense of connection to his own identity through his interaction with his animals, such that when he, you know, taps into his puppy persona, it, you know, kind of strengthens that perspective for him when he's in that role. So definitely a whole lot of fun can be had in the pet play experience and the pet play, you know, taking on the persona or role of a pet. So let's talk about age play and age regression. Age play and age regression is, or at least I see it anyway, is a very broad spectrum that has some solid lines that define and compartmentalize each of them. But those lines can also be woven together or blurred depending upon the individual and the context in which they identify to the individual activities, right? And how they make those activities work for them and their life. You know, so when I think about age regression, I think about it as a psychological shift in pervasive perspective, how an individual like sees the world, how they're interacting with the world. Versus age play, I see as taking on an attitude or a state of mind. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to relate it back to the last segment where I talked about pet play. The gentleman who was taking on the persona and role of a horse was a horse. He opened his eyes and saw the room as a horse would, and he behaved as a horse would. Whereas the submissive rope bottom who was getting tied up by her partner in the middle of the you know, class on knot tying, saw a piece of string and acted like a kitten for you know, a few seconds or a minute, and they interacted, you know, as Dom and Kitten. You know, that's big difference there between someone who is opening their eyes and seeing everything around them as a horse and someone who just acts like a kitten for a couple of minutes. And I'm not trivializing acting like a kitten for a couple of minutes. I'm differentiating between this across the spectrum. And I kind of see age regression and age play in very much the same way. You know, age regression is also a well-known tool in psychotherapy, where you regress a patient back to a particular age to explore the psyche, impact on their psyche of maybe some traumatic events, and kind of roll that forward and reconciling their past and rolling it forward to create a healing moment, using psychotherapy in you know, the tools of age regression and psychotherapy. Clearly, it's a non-sexual activity, right? It's an actual medical practice. And in the little community, there may be regressors, in fact, who choose to keep their regression separate from their DDLG sexuality, meaning that regression is a line that when crossed, it's not linked with a sexual response. Rather, age regression to some people who participate or identify with or take part in age regression, it's a safe mental space for the age regressor to hang out inside their DDLG dynamic. So, for example, I might feel very, very safe seeing the world through the eyes of a five-year-old, talking on the level of a five-year-old, understanding, comprehending, interacting with my partners and the world around me as a five-year-old. Would I necessarily want to, feel erotic or sexual stimuli response through the mind and eyes and, you know, perception of a five-year-old? Absolutely not. That's not my thing. So I kind of see age regression as you're going back to a safe space inside of you where you feel like when I look at the world through these eyes, it takes me to a place that I can't experience anywhere else in my life. I don't get this anywhere else in my life. And it's a very special connection that I get to share with the people that I share it with, because I trust them enough with me when I am taking myself back to this, you know, time and space in my head. And it's not even that they necessarily, an age regression necessarily goes back to when they were 5 years old, and I'm regressing back to when I was 5 years old. You know, again, I think that's kind of blurring the line a little bit with the psychotherapy aspects of age regression. Now, can kinks be healing? Can kinks be used or, coincidentally help resolve someone's past? You know, absolutely. You know, you can flush out trauma. You can go there. You can go to dark places. You can take on your fears head on and wrestle your demons through kink therapy. Absolutely. But is an age regressor necessarily, you know, regressing back to a particular age in their past? Most likely not. Most likely it's a regression back to an age level that they feel safe interacting on and provides them with a feeling of comfort that they don't get anywhere else in their everyday life. So age regression, definitely different from age play. It's on a different part of the spectrum. I see age play as the kitten persona coming out in the middle of the rope class. You know, age play would be more of, baby girl will sometimes, you know, suck her thumb to console herself. If daddy's being a little rough with her, or if she's having a hard day and she comes over and she falls into my arms and it's been a terrible week and I bring her to just such an amazingly safe space that she just kind of falls into that like juvenile mindset and just starts sucking her thumb. But when I interact with her, I'm interacting, you know, with her, a grown adult. You know, she is herself, but she's kind of just taking on, I know, daddy, I just feel so happy, Daddy. I'm so happy to be here with you. You know, she's not looking at me through the eyes of a six-year-old. She's not acting like a three-year-old. She's talking to me, you know, on the level of her adult age, but through the persona of a very younger version of herself. And at times I will talk to her, you know, as a younger version of herself, as a little girl. I will treat her like a little girl. I'm like, come on, sweetheart, come lay down with Daddy. Do you want to put your sockies on? You know you're going to be cold if you don't wear your sockies. Yes, Daddy. You know, so we can tap into those little moments, those little aspects that bring us back to those safe space, kind of like paint us with that little brush of comfort of just relating to each other through that daddy, little girl kind of way of being. You okay, sweetheart? You need something to drink? What do you want? Do you want lemonade? Or do you want grape juice? How about that? You know, do you want me to water it down? Do you want ice in it? Yes, Daddy. You know, and just kind of reaching back inside of ourselves for that kind of a feeling. Like, I feel so safe with you. Versus laying on the bed as a three-year-old, you know, unable to speak or speaking in very basic language, very basic gestures, having to be coddled and swaddled and diapered and given a bottle. You know, that being that way, age regression also takes you to that very similar safe space and, you know, offers a very similar deep level of connection. But instead of it being just a moment, it becomes a complete interaction. Almost, I don't want to cheapen it by calling it a scene, and I definitely don't want to cheapen the word scene by saying that calling it a scene is cheapening it. So, how's that little mental spiral for you? But I don't necessarily want to call it a scene, but it very well can be, right? You know, and the reason for that little mental spiral is me. You know, that's my perspective. I kind of, when somebody says, let's do a scene, I kind of think that, okay, we're going to do this specific thing and then we're done, you know? I see age regression as a lot deeper than that. It's not a scene. If you come over to my house and you take on the persona of a three-year-old and you look at me as a guardian who's supposed to be taking care of you, that's not a scene. That's allowing you to enter a very safe space that completely takes you over and gives me the opportunity to share in that safe space by taking on the role of guardian. You know, that's age regression. Age play is you're coming over to Daddy's house and Daddy's gonna look at you and treat you like his precious little girl that he wants to take care of and keep safe and do all the things with. And very high instance of crossing over with eroticism and sexual response in the DDLG age play space, I think anyway, and for me and through my experience. You know, age play is an extension of dynamics. It's an extension of your submission, of your dominance, of your power exchange. And it's a way to kind of tap into, you know, grab someone by the gut and just say, come on, sweetheart, I need you to roll over now. Daddy needs to see what kind of attention you need on your backside because I think that you've been really, really greedy and it's time to roll you over because there's something that Daddy needs from you. Okay, Daddy. And, you know, you can really go to a very erotic space tapping into that daddy little girl dynamic if you're playing with age play, for sure. And, you know, age play is something that the dominant can participate in as much as the submissive, because I can turn to my little girl and initiate it by treating her like a little girl. Age regression, I feel, is very much centered on the individual that's regressing. You know, I'm not going to treat you like a three-year-old when you're sitting on my couch as a 27-year-old and, you know, we're just having dinner, you know. But once you drop into your aspects of your identity and regression into the space of being a three-year-old, you know, I'm going to have to treat you like a three-year-old because it will ruin your regression experience if I don't, right? So age play, I feel, can be called out by both partners. age regression kind of depends upon the individual who's regressing. And obviously, your caretaker, your guardian, has to be, aware and consent to being your guardian during that moment before you drop into that space. But age play, I see, is something you can slip in and out of. All that being said, let's sew it all together with a little bit of advice. Overall, I think I'm going to say, when it comes to pet play, when it comes to accessing your fursona, or taking on the role of a pet or an animal or any other contrived creature, when it comes to age play, when it comes to age regression, if this is something you're curious about, if this is something that you're into and you have a new partner, and this is something you want to explore, talk about it with your partner. Go slow. Start with what is fun. Start with a well-discussed scene and see how it feels. As I expressed earlier in this episode, when my partner, my play partner, said to me, I like puppy play. I'm curious about it. How about you? I said, sure. And I said, well, how do you want to go about it? And she said, well, why don't you, be a little creative and let's have some fun with it, and we can kind of talk about it and see what works and what doesn't. So I got a little creative and we had some fun with it, and it was a blast. And, that particular relationship did not last into the realm of time where we had a chance to deepen our explorations of pet play, but I definitely saw a lot of potential for exploring that, and I see that potential for everyone who might be listening. If you start by going slow and have some fun and make it fun, right? And then you can kind of see how it feels. I definitely would encourage people to talk about the, like, hey, what do you hope to get out of it? Or how do you think it would serve you to best approach this, and kind of answer that question back and forth for each of you. It might help that first time go a little smooth, you know? If you know your partner cannot stand butt plugs and you go and buy them like a bunny butt plug tail, that's not going to work. That's not going to make for a good first experience. So, you know, you definitely need to discuss like the basics, and maybe you want to flesh out a whole entire scene and kind of see how it feels, right? So go slow. Do it for 10 minutes. Start with something really small and fun. Most of what has become deep dynamic in my experience with DS and Power Exchange has always started as a scene. You know, it's like, hey, I've never been caned before. It's like, well, I've never used a cane before, so I'd learn about caning, and I would try it on myself, and then I would try it on her, and you know, I learned pretty quickly what I liked and didn't like about caning, so I did the same with my partner. You know, I learned what she did and did not like about caning. And it started as a scene, like, okay, I'm gonna like start by warming you up with my hand, and then I'm gonna introduce the cane, and I'm gonna kind of like talk to you. It's like, okay, I'm gonna hit you lightly, okay, now I'm gonna hit you a little harder, and now I'm gonna hit you a couple of times, now I'm gonna hit you in a different spot, now I'm gonna hit you in the same spot multiple times, now it's gonna get a little bit more intense, and then you can start to feel the dynamic take hold in your gut and really kind of guide the experience. So your dynamic, trust your dynamic. Trust your dynamic. If you and your partner have a great connection and a good dynamic, your dynamic's gonna come in and grab you both by the hand and spirit you away to a really wonderful place, sub and dom space. So if you're trying something new, start slow, do it as an exploration together. Talk about it as you do it. That's something that you can also do too. But basically, what I'm saying is most of what becomes deep dynamic starts as a scene, and you take what you want, you leave what you don't, and you run with it. And your dynamic will tell you, you know, your connection with your dominant and your submissive in your gut will tell you what's working and what isn't. And if you have, you know, if you don't feel like you have that, then maybe a little bit more communication, a little bit more discussion and deconstruction. You might want to listen to my episode on deconstruction, my episode on why do we dynamic, and kind of create a deeper understanding of the little puzzle pieces that come together to form a whole picture in what it means to create a power exchange relationship and, you know, some satisfying power exchange experiences. You know, in the past, in creating what we wanted for ourselves and fleshing out, you know, our experiences with role play, baby girl and I, you know, we definitely took what we wanted and we ran with it, talked about it extensively afterwards. And sometimes we even incorporated or revisited things that we've left behind, right? So just because something didn't serve you as well in the past doesn't mean it won't be something that you could desire to revisit in the future. I would never close a door, you know? Well, you might close doors, just don't lock them because there might be something you need in that room later. I just, you know, and I'm gonna bring this into the literal physical realm. There are so many times in my life where I felt like I'm never gonna need this book again. I'm never gonna need this tool bag again. I'm never gonna use these crops, these ropes, these pulleys, these, you know, anal hooks. I'm never gonna use these things again. So I'm just, I guess I'll just throw them out. What's the point in me having them around? And a couple of years later, guess what I need? You know, I need a toy bag, I need ropes, I need suspension hooks, I need all sorts of fucking things, and I really wish I had some of the stuff that I threw out. And the same goes with your dynamic, the same goes with the mental and emotional stuff too. There may be aspects that you experience in your dynamic through pet play, through age play, through age regression that don't serve you right now on this part of your journey. Put them in a room, close the door, don't lock it, because And focus on what does serve you. And the reason I'm saying that is if you rule them out, you know, you'll create a story in your head that, no, that doesn't work for me. Well, what if you meet a new partner and that is just the thing that would work for you? You know, so don't rule out in your head. Don't typecast yourself. Don't put baby in a corner. Don't pigeonhole yourself into a particular way of being. Like, oh, I can't do anal. I don't like anal. Well, you know, baby girl and I went through that. You know, she couldn't do anal, but she was kind of curious and fascinated by it. You know, it scared the crap out of her. But after we had a couple of what we would both call very successful experiences with it, it has its place. Is it the top of the list? No, but it has its space, and we definitely keep it on a shelf. You know, and we don't lock it up. We don't put it away. We haven't continued the story of, oh, I don't do anal, I can't do anal, I hate anal, I tried it and I don't like it and it's not for me. Well, you know, if she had held on to that story, we never would have tried it and she never would have realized that she actually does like it in a particular context. Is it an everyday thing? No. Would pet play and age regression and age play be an everyday thing for you? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe aspects of it will be. Maybe aspects of it definitely will not be. But different times, different places, different people, different relationships, we evolve. Never say never, because it might be 6 months away. I would definitely encourage to never close a door. You'll only sell your future self short. So, bottom line, if you're curious about age play, age regression, pet play, pet personas, furries, fursonas, role play, talk about it with your partner, go slow, start with what's fun, and then maybe tap into a little bit of community if you find something you really like and you think that it would enhance your dynamic and enhance your perspective on the activity that you're engaging in, to be in a room full of babies, you know, to teach a diaper class, to go to an adult diaper class, to, you know, maybe have a party where all the alcohol is served in baby bottles. So there's a lot of different potential activities that you can engage in that will enhance your dynamic and bring you closer to your partner and make your power exchange something to treasure for years to come. So thanks for listening. Please, as always, I'm out of listener emails and I have no more questions to answer. So if you have any questions, something you want Daddy to talk about or something you're curious about, Maybe there's a puzzle, something that you're going through, you're a dynamic, and you just can't quite figure it out, something about relationships, polyamory, kink. Shoot me an email at daddy_AF@comcast.net, and I'll see if I can't lay down a couple tracks for you and help make some sense of it.